Sorry. I think I shared with you before my story about the first time I ever went to Kings Island and how I was so excited to go to Kings Island. I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I had had family members that had been to Kings Island. I'd had friends that had been to Kings Island, and I was just looking forward to going to Kings Island. It was about a three-hour trip to Kings Island from Brazil, and I just could not wait to get there. I'd heard the stories about riding the racer roller coaster and going to the top of the Eiffel Tower. And when we pulled into the parking lot, I mean, I can remember driving up Interstate 74 and seeing the Eiffel Tower from the interstate. We're like, there it is, there it is. Anybody played this game before? Yeah, we do that. And we pull into the parking lot, and I'm all just fired up about it. And I think we parked in like Fred Flintstone number 11 or something like that. And we walk through the gate. And when we walk through the gate, I mean, there's the majestic Eiffel Tower and the fountains. I mean, the fountains are just spraying. It's like, man, you walk in, it's like, this is awesome. And you can smell the food coming from all of the restaurants down the main street there on International Street, they call it. And it was just great. I mean, we played games and then we ate. And then we went to a show, and then we ate, and we rode rides, and then we ate, and you know, we just kind of ate and ate and ate, and it was incredible. It didn't matter that it poured down rain most of the day, and that all of the food that I ate did not stay where it was supposed to stay after a couple of rides, but it was. It was an awesome day. I mean, it was even better than I imagined it would be, and that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that it's even better than what we think it is. You know, we kind of imagine it sometimes, or you know, in our minds, we maybe before we come to know Christ, we've asked the question, well, what would it be like to be a Christian, to know Jesus? What would it be like to be a part of God's kingdom? Here's the good news. If you're sitting out there this morning and maybe you're not there yet, maybe you have not become a part of the kingdom of heaven, here's the good news for you. It's even better than what you imagine it might be. And for those of you who are already a part of the kingdom of God, it's even better than what we think it is sometimes, even though we know the scriptures to be true that say, taste and see that the Lord is good. We know He's good to us, but I think sometimes we fail to understand just how good it is. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is far greater than anything that we can even imagine, even though we've experienced some wonderful things in our lives. And Jesus was born into this world, and He lived His life as a man to die for the sins of the world. And when He did that, He brought the kingdom of God, He brought the kingdom of heaven to us. And that's what His life was all about. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of God, not only gives us the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life, it's also God's radical plan to change your life now. Not just after we die and go to heaven. It should have this radical transformation in your life now. It's God's way of growing us into becoming mature Christians, mature followers of Jesus Christ that He calls us to be. I think over the years we have Christians have maybe missed this a little bit. Maybe we've just understood a small part of the gospel, that is the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, even though that is a part of it. And although we have the assurance of living in heaven with God forever, that is a part of it as well. I think sometimes we've been guilty of limiting ourselves to just that. Even though these are a big part of it, it's so much more than that. Our generous, loving God has done far more than we have imagined, and Jesus demonstrated that love for us when He came 2,000 years ago as a baby. And we talked about that last week, His miraculous birth and what that meant for you and what that meant for me. You know, And I'll be honest with you, I've gone back and forth this week about what I want to preach on the ministry of Jesus. We dove into this series, The Life of Christ, and my idea was, and I thought, you know, I thought it was a good idea at the time, and, you know, miraculous birth of Jesus, that's easy to preach about. And then it came to the ministry of Jesus. And I'm like, how in the world do you narrow that down into 1 week? Because when you look at the New Testament and you see all of the things that he did, you see all of his miracles. I thought about that. I thought about preaching about his miracles, all walking on water and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and dead people raising to life. I thought about that. I thought about the Sermon on the Mount. That'd be good to preach about his ministry, but I'm like, that still doesn't encapsulate all that he did. I thought about talking about his parables. That didn't do it as well. So here's what I want to do. To try to narrow this all down into one 20 to 30 minute sermon or so. What I want to do is I want to examine some of the biblical texts from all four Gospels so that we can just appreciate how deep the Father's love is for us and the good news of Jesus Christ coming to earth as a baby and living his life here. Because that's what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news. If you are taking notes this morning, that's the first thing. The gospel is the good news. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us about the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that's good news to us. It describes the resurrection. It describes what John did so eloquently in the communion meditation. That was fantastic, I thought. And he died for our sins. And when we read the Gospels, that's what we see. We see the story of Jesus. We see his ministry. We see the good news of the fact that he came to die for us so that we didn't have to experience that kind of a death. So that's good news for us this morning. Would you agree with me that we could use some good news in our lives? Amen? But what exactly is that? What does that mean to us? It's communicated in this phrase, the kingdom of God is near. See, I don't think we really understand how near the kingdom of God is. John the Baptist preached this message, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Jesus began his ministry as well with this message. Mark 1, 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. This is what Jesus said. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. In fact, this is one way Jesus characterized his mission. He said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So when we look at the ministry of Jesus, everything that he did from the beginning of the Gospels to the time he died on the cross and was resurrected and went to be back with his Father was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what his ministry was all about. So I think we need to understand what the kingdom of God is all about so we can understand what Jesus' ministry is. And Jesus' ministry was all about getting us to see that we need to take the lordship of Christ in our lives seriously. And we need to be praying and we need to be seeking God's will in our lives. We need to be striving for God's will to be done in our lives God's way. Okay, I think sometimes we're guilty of going our own way. We're guilty of wanting our own will and maybe even forcing the issue a little bit and we'll do things. They're not necessarily bad things, but they're good things. We'll say, well, you know, apparently it's God's will because he's allowing it to happen. And I think we need to do better than that, church. I think we really need to hit our knees and we really need to be seeking God's way, God's will in our lives. Early on in his ministry, Jesus preached what's called the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. He's preaching this message to his disciples, okay? And in this sermon, have you ever noticed how prominently Jesus talks about God's kingdom? Just in this little bit of space here in the Bible, he talks about the kingdom of God 8 times. Let's just look at two key examples here from the Sermon on the Mount. As part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray this: let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you ever prayed that prayer? Okay? Jesus instructed his disciples to pray this, to pray for God's coming kingdom in our lives. And he explained what that would look like. God's will be done down here just as it is in heaven. And this is important because Jesus is telling us that God's kingdom is not limited to just a physical thing. Okay? God's kingdom is not just something that has these political boundaries or these geographical boundaries. It's not found in just one single location, but it's found wherever God's will is being done on earth. That's where you can find the kingdom of God. Not sure if you've ever tried this before, but let's just try to imagine God's will, how God's will is done in heaven. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? And I want you to just, I want you to picture what heaven might be like right now. You know what? I wasn't planning to do this, but let's just for fun, keep your eyes closed. And as you're imagining heaven, somebody just out loud say a word that pops into your mind. Beautiful. Singing. Anything else? Glorious. I think of peace. I think of perfection. I think of wholeness. I think of no darkness, no sin. You can go ahead and open your eyes now. And so I want you to imagine for just a moment some of those things that you have shouted out, some of the things that I have said. Imagine those things in heaven finding its way into your life. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the ministry of Jesus Christ is about. When he walked the earth, his main priority really was to die for the sins of mankind, for sure. But he brought the kingdom of heaven to us. Let me ask you this. Do you think in heaven people lie to one another? So let's try to get a little bit of that down here, because Jesus says that's what can happen. Or do you think in heaven people are afraid about their future? Nah. Let's try to get a little bit of that down here. Do you think in heaven that people try to manipulate things to have their own way? Let's try to get some of that down here. Because God rules in heaven. That's what he said. Thy will be done on earth, down here. In other words, we need some of what's going on up here, down here. That's why Jesus came. And part of the good news from Jesus is that it's possible to live here on this earth in peace and harmony, free from fear and anxiety. Man, I have never seen... I've never seen a time in my entire lifetime where there are more people who are stressed out, who are more anxious, who are lacking peace than I see right now. And God says it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. If you allow God's will that's being done in heaven as to be down here on earth. Because here's what I think. I think, and this is very important for us. Some people think that this is just, you know, a part of the Lord's Prayer, simply like, okay, you know, we're praying for world peace or something like that. But look at the rest of the Lord's Prayer, okay? It's about our everyday lives. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, right? And of course, we should pray for world peace. That's a good thing. But Jesus is instructing his followers to pray that God's kingdom would become an everyday reality in our lives, not just something that's going to happen to us after we die. I think that's where we miss the point. You know, we think that the kingdom of heaven is just some place we're going to go to eventually. But the Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven has come down in the form of Jesus, and he wants to change your life. Look at this from the Sermon on the Mount as well. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. But seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And then what does He say after that? Everything else just going to take care of itself. Right? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so as you look at these two verses together, it instructs us to pray fervently for God's kingdom to become a reality in our everyday lives, and that God's kingdom should be our highest priority. The problem is this. In most people's lives, even Christians, our kingdom's the highest priority. We're not willing to get off the throne of our kingdom and let Jesus have the reign that He deserves in our lives. We want what we want. We want to do our will. And if somewhere along the way, God's kingdom works itself into our lives and those two things can mesh together, yeah, okay, I'll go with that. That's not what God's looking for. Jesus' earthly ministry, He came into this world to let a little bit, actually a lot, of what we can experience in heaven to come into our lives now to change this world for the better. You know? A lot of times people think that Jesus only preached about, well, forgiveness and you need to be born again. Even those things have to happen. He certainly does talk about those things. Those are two very important things. They're vital even. But new birth into Christ is the entryway into God's kingdom. Okay? Jesus talked far more about God's kingdom than He did salvation. Did you know that? And we preachers, I'm going to beat us up a little bit here. We've been guilty of talking about salvation and sin and don't do this and don't do that and so on and so forth. And we've dropped the ball about what it means to have the kingdom being a part of who you are. In all four Gospels, okay, the word salvation or the word saved or the idea of being saved is mentioned 23 times in the four Gospels. You know how many times the kingdom is mentioned? 120. Now, that doesn't mean that being born again and being saved is unimportant. It's absolutely vital. It's the entryway into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. So the new birth in Christ is the entryway into the kingdom that has no borders, has no boundaries. It's not political or social. It's about God's will being done the way that God wants His will to be done. And as a result of that, in our lives, we will experience righteousness, joy, and peace. You got a lack of peace in your life right now. You're worried about your future. You're fretting over different things like that. Would you just let a little bit more of the kingdom of God just enter into your life? Would you just take maybe a few moments each day to focus on the peace and the contentment and the joy that is in heaven and let the Holy Spirit do its work in you? So that you're not so stressed out and worked up over everything that's going on. How many of you would like peace? Absolutely. I don't know if anybody said, oh, I just love living in chaos. Well, there are a few, okay? There's a few. But the way to peace, the way to real joy, is new birth in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. And the reason why the good news is better than you first thought it was is that new birth opens the possibility of living in God's kingdom here and now. It's not just something we're going to do after we die. It's not like, okay, like Kings Island, there's this 3-hour trip from Brazil to Cincinnati. Can't wait to get there. It's going to be so much fun. You know, we treat life that way. Yeah, I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be great. But on the journey, we forget to have a good... I couldn't tell you what happened on the way to Kings Island. I'm going to guess that my brothers and I were fighting. 3-hour trip. Or we're probably sleeping. Or we probably stopped 4 or 5 times. You know, something like that. But we do that. You know, we think, oh man, someday when I get to heaven, it's going to be great. God wants you to have an amazing life here. God is trying to get us to understand that His kingdom, when it finds its way into the hearts of people, it's going to lead people to subject themselves to the rule of Jesus in their lives. And I'm going to guess that every one of you sitting in these chairs this morning can look around at the world that you live in, the people that you work in, the people you go to school with, and you think, man, if they had more of Jesus ruling in their lives, it'd be a pretty awesome place. Start that with you. Don't just look at the other people and say, oh man, they need Jesus. You probably need a little more as well. And that's why being born from above is so important. It's a starting point. We cannot begin to live as subjects of the King apart from His grace and mercy. Apart from His Spirit living in our lives. And the gospel, the ministry of Jesus, when we read the gospels, we read all of these stories. I'm glad Spencer picked out that song. I love to tell the story. We look at all of these stories, all of the miracles, all of the parables, all of the sermons, everything that we see, the prayers, everything was pointing to the kingdom of God coming to earth. So that we don't have to just wait someday. We can taste it now. Our lives today can be better because of what Jesus has done for us. Living kingdom lives starts with being born again. No matter how hard we try in our own efforts, we'll never reflect the goodness and the mercy of heaven without Jesus being born in our lives. But that same grace that saves us changes us. It should transform us. If you gave your life to Christ and you were baptized into Him, but you're no different today than you were the day you gave your life to Christ, it makes me wonder whether you're allowing the kingdom to work its way into your life or not. You know? You think our Heavenly Father will force us to wait until we've died in order to receive the benefits that He wants to give? No. Not going to do that at all. It doesn't make any sense for God to say, okay, you know what, you're going to heaven now, but you got to wait before I give you anything else. You know, just kind of do your own thing for a while, and then when you get to heaven, then you're going to receive your benefits. No, He wants to bless you now. He wants to come into your life now, and He wants to relieve you of the stress and the anxiety and the chaos that's in your life, and give you hope. How many of you are like me, and you've just quit watching the news? You just don't want to watch it, because every time you watch it, you're just like, phew. You know, I was so glad that Cubs games came back on this week. Man, I just kind of, yeah, wow, couldn't wait, because there, news and Cubs games, that's about all I ever watch, and the news isn't worth watching right now, I don't think. But God wants to give us more than that, you know? He wants us to experience heaven, a little bit of heaven, those things that we can experience, the joy and the peace here now. As we continue, as I start to kind of wrap this up, there's a couple misconceptions about the kingdom of God I want to clear up for you, okay? And I say as I start to wrap this up, because I hate to say in conclusion, because when I say in conclusion, you all are thinking, well, he's almost done. I'm not almost done. I'm just kind of wrapping it up. Some of you are looking at your watch like, really? It's only 10. He's almost done? Okay. Calm down. All right. First is this. Don't confuse the kingdom of God with heaven. I've already kind of alluded to that, but don't confuse the two. God's kingdom includes heaven, of course. But God's kingdom is so much larger than that. No? Remember, here's the deal. God's kingdom is anywhere that God's will is being done the way that God wants it to be done. Okay? It's wherever the king has dominion. That's where the word comes from. Look at it. Kingdom. Wherever the king has dominion in your life. In other words, wherever God is ruling in the lives of believers, that's where we can experience the kingdom of God. Okay? So it's true that God rules in heaven. But you know what? He also rules in the hearts of people down here too. And this is an important distinction, because if we think the kingdom of God only means heaven, then we will think that everything Jesus said about the gospel of the kingdom is for some future time after we die. And that's not the way I read it at all. Jesus said that God's kingdom is breaking into the here and into the now. So the kingdom is more than heaven. And then the second thing is this. The kingdom of God is not the same thing as the church. You know, I think we've all been guilty of this. I've been guilty of this. We're sometimes good about inviting people to church, but not as good about inviting them to Jesus or inviting them to be a part of the kingdom of God. We kind of even in our minds think that the kingdom of God is limited to the church. It's limited to the four walls of the church. But God's kingdom is so much bigger than the church. Perhaps the best way to understand the ministry of Jesus and the kingdom of God is this passage that was written by Paul, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so whenever we have the right relationship with God, in other words, when we are born again through Jesus Christ, wherever there is the peace of God, wherever there's the joy of our salvation, that's where the kingdom of God can be present. This means that we can discover the kingdom of God in some pretty amazing places, some pretty surprising places. The Old Testament example comes from the book of Daniel. Daniel was a servant of God. He lived in exile, we know, in Babylon. He was far away from Jerusalem. And yet Daniel's life in this sinful area called Babylon, everybody around him, just awful, detestable. But Daniel's life was characterized by righteousness, peace, and joy. And so Daniel's life, even in the midst of this political kingdom or this national kingdom, whatever the case may be, even in the midst of all of this stuff, we find a little piece of the kingdom of God right in the middle of all that chaos. Okay? Daniel's life was amazing. And this should give us hope because it tells me that in this time where we're wanting to shut off the news, in this time where we're just so, I don't know, just tore up over what's going on, it tells me that we don't have to cave to what's going on in our society, that we can have the kingdom of God right here and right now in our workplace, in our school, wherever God has planted. I know we look around and it looks like Satan's got control of everything that's going on, and he's doing his job, that's for sure. But I'm not going to lie, I get a little bit miffed when I hear people say, it's just so hard being a Christian in this day and age. Really? Say that to a Christian living in China. You think it's tough here in the good old United States of America to be a Christian? It's tougher than it was in the 50s, probably. But you say that to someone who's living in China, who's meeting out in caves, who's meeting out in the wilderness, hiding from authorities, whose churches are being burned down. You think it's hard being a Christian here? No? You think it's hard being a Christian here? Say that to a Christian in Iran, a predominantly Muslim country. You say that to them. I know we can't do this, but say that to Daniel. Right? Say that to the first century church. First century church was running for their lives. There was a guy by the name of Nero. We talked about this in one of our Bible studies the other day. He used to cover Christians in tar. And he would light them on fire and he would put them on posts in his garden so that he could light the pathway of his garden. You know what I think the problem is, church? We've gotten soft. We are so soft. Yeah.
Oh, it's just so hard.
It is sometimes. I'm not going to lie. There are difficulties. We have challenges today. But come on. We've caved to this mindset that is so prevalent in our society. We've just gotten softer and softer and softer. We don't know what persecution is yet. We really don't. I mean, there might be, okay, you might not get a job. You might not have friends. I don't know. That's a very mild form of it. It's discouraging. I get it. But you think about what's going on in the lives of some of the people who don't even know if they're going to wake up the next day or not because they believe in Jesus. You can find God's kingdom all over the world in places that you might not expect. You find kingdom of God in prison, in Bible studies, people who have given their lives to the Lord, who have made terrible decisions in the past. Maybe they're in prison now, but they're having Bible studies and they come to know the Lord and they're doing their best to do God's will in that particular place. You can find the kingdom of God there. You can discover the kingdom of God among a group of maybe some young mothers and their children. The moms are over here playing, or the kids are playing. The moms are having Bible study, you know, and they're really trying to be godly mothers and trying to do everything that they can possibly do. God's kingdom working its way through their lives. In offices, workplaces, everywhere, you can discover the presence of the King. If there are people there whose hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And yes, on Sunday morning at church, you can discover a group of imperfect people who come together on Sunday morning to try to learn God's will for their lives. You can find God's kingdom all over the place, here and now. It's not just some far off place that we're going to go to someday. And it's not owned by any one culture. I think we're guilty of that sometimes too. The kingdom of God is not owned by any one culture or any one church or any one country or any one race. God's kingdom is wherever Jesus the King has dominion in the hearts of people. It means the kingdom of God can sneak in anywhere. It can operate in any environment. And that's good news. It's good news for us. That's what Jesus' ministry was about. And the very first step is to be born from above. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And I'm going to encourage you this morning, if you've never surrendered your heart to Him, we encourage you to do that. Maybe to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you've not done that, and repent of your sins and be, as I mentioned to Him, that's the starting point. Maybe you've already done that, but as I mentioned earlier, maybe, you know, maybe down through the years, you've just, you know, you started off well and you were on fire, but things have happened and you just kind of, you took Jesus off the throne of your life and you decided to go ahead and put yourself back in His seat. Would you decide today to maybe do something about that? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And as we sing this song of decision this morning, if you have a need, we encourage you to come. Father, You are a good, good Father who loves us, who wants us to experience as much of Your kingdom as we possibly can down here. And then when we get to heaven, it's going to be even another notch or two or ten above that. But we can experience, we don't have to wait to experience Your goodness and Your joy and Your peace in our lives. We can do that right now. Help us, Lord, to put Jesus where He rightly belongs. And that's on the throne of our lives. And we pray this in His name. Amen.